This podcast of the Radio Cafe comes to you via radiocafe.org, where you can find more information and many other podcasts. Technical support comes from Studio X, providing website design, hosting, e-commerce, and social media marketing, serving Santa Fe to the world since 1994. Find out more at studiox.com. I'm delighted now to welcome back to the Radio Cafe Daniel Stephen Crafts. He's a composer. His new work is called Otter's Odd Adventure, a satire for narrator and orchestra. It's being performed on Wednesday, the 1st of June at 7 o'clock at UNM Keller Hall in Albuquerque. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to be on your program, Mary Charlotte.
Thank you. It's great to have you back. Now, this piece is a collaboration between you and writer-poet Adam Cornford. How did you come up with this story of a river otter who goes to the shopping mall?
Well, it was interesting. We wanted to do a piece for my dear friend Kip Allen, who at the time was the morning voice of KHFM here in Albuquerque. And so I wanted to do something like Peter and the Wolf, formerly narrator and orchestra, but an adult satire. And so we played around with several ideas. We were thinking maybe a coyote story or something like that. Then I remembered an experience I had the first time I was in London, England. They have a marvelous zoo there. And I went to the zoo, and of course I wanted to check out the otters. And they had two giant Amazon otters. And they were absolutely wonderful to watch. And I think I was there for probably half an hour, maybe an hour, just watching these wonderful otters. Then a couple of years later, I was back in London, and I went to the zoo again. And I made a beeline for the otter enclosure. And there were no otters there, much to my disappointment. So I looked around, and I found one of the zoo attendants. And I said, hey, what happened to the otters? And he said to me, "Well, sir, we're not quite sure. Either someone pinched them, or they escaped." And so I had this wonderful image in my head of these two otters plotting their escape from the London Zoo.
Right.
But where would they end up?
Where would they end up? Well, in the Thames.
So in this one, the otter finds himself. He awakes in the morning and he finds himself in a shopping mall and can't make heads or tails out of the weird behavior of all the humans there. But like any good otter, he decides to make it a game.
Exactly. And he's such a wonderful, playful character. I was just reading the script and fell in love with the otter.
Oh, that's great.
And he can serve as an example to all of us in observing the kind of absurdity of our consumer life.
That's kind of the idea.
Now, tell us more about this form. I mean, you mentioned Peter and the Wolf, the form of narrator and orchestra. I mean, everyone's heard of Peter and the Wolf. Is this a common form, or is that like the only example of it?
Well, it is really pretty much the only really recognizable piece in that form. There have been other works, but that's really the only one that has stuck around for a while. Later part of the 19th century, there were a lot of pieces for voice and reciter and, say, piano or chamber orchestra or something like that. But most of those have pretty much been forgotten.
Very interesting, because it's a form which, I mean, we were talking the other day here on the Radio Cafe about the form of staged readings. And, of course, staged readings are usually of plays that eventually will get a full-length performance, or that's the idea, is that they will get a full performance with costumes and sets and all of that. But the great thing about staged readings, and I think the great thing about this form, is that it lets the imagination of the audience member really visualize all the things that are being talked about. You can almost close your eyes. And in fact, I was wondering, I mean, are there any visual effects at all, or is it really the kind of thing where you would close your eyes?
Well, we actually are going to have a few watercolors that that we're going to show during the performance. But really, as you say, I really wanted people to concentrate on the story and the music, of course. And I don't think that you really need to have anything more than that. But we do have some very beautiful watercolors by an artist in the Bay Area, Patricia Wheeler. And so I think we have about half a dozen watercolors that we're going to show it just at certain spots in the performance.
This would also be a good radio piece, wouldn't it? Would
absolutely.
You be recording it?
Yes, absolutely, it would be a radio piece. Yes, we are going to make a recording of it.
Okay, well, ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned if you don't make the performance on Wednesday. But now, we're talking to Daniel Stephen Kraft, and the last time we had you on was when you were staging a production of your opera, Too Much Coffee Man.
Yes.
And that's an opera that was based on a comic book by that same name. Tell us about the life of that opera since it was staged in Albuquerque.
Oh, well, it's I think it was the Albuquerque staging was about midway in its career. This is actually the 10th anniversary. The very first, the premiere of it was in 2006 in Portland. And since then, it's been done all up and down the West Coast. We've had like some 70 performances of it, and people tell me it's the most often performed 21st century opera. We finally got it to New York in January on Broadway as part of the Theater Now New York Festival. So finally got it east of New Mexico.
Very interesting. I mean, this is a Too Much Coffee Man is an example of a genre called gonzo opera. Tell us about that. What is it?
Well, that was a name that we came up with to describe a really different turn in contemporary opera, something that is real opera. I mean, it's not parody or pastiche or anything like that. It's real opera for these beautifully trained classical voices and wonderful instrumental players, but it's taking opera into realms, situations that you would never expect to find in contemporary opera, such as Too Much Coffee Man. But Too Much Coffee Man is just the first. There are now 6 gonzo operas. So we're actually in the middle of trying to form a gonzo opera troupe here in New Mexico to perform both in Albuquerque and Santa Fe, and maybe other places in the state, of these various other gonzo operas that we have. So we're sort of in the middle of that project at the moment.
Now, are the various gonzo operas by a bunch of different composers who were doing the same kind of thing?
Well, actually, I'm the composer, but there are a number of different lyricists.
Ah, okay.
And in fact, one that Santa Fe concertgoers may be familiar with, Thomas Woodward, frequently contributes some of the wildest plays to the Benchwarmers Play Festival there in Santa Fe. That's the festival of 15-minute plays.
Right.
And Tom's are always the wildest of the bunch. In fact, I met him years ago in Santa Fe at a dinner party, and he's telling me about his latest contribution, which was called And the Winner Is. And it's about a Miss America beauty pageant on live TV that goes hopelessly wrong with sex change operations and lecherous MCs and all sort of bizarre things. And I thought, oh, this seems perfect for this seems perfect for comedy. So a 15-minute play actually turns into about a 50-minute opera.
It's interesting that way because there's so much singing, and singing is, I guess, slower than speaking a lot of the times. And in order to tell a full-length story, I mean, if you look at an opera libretto, it's going to be shorter than a novel or a movie.
Very, very much so. Very much so. Actually, people who try to turn novels into operas, it almost always doesn't work because you have to leave out so much all you can do is maybe pick out a couple of dramatic scenes, and hey, you've got a full opera that way. So yeah, novels usually are not a good source to begin with for an opera. But the relationship I've often found is like 3 or 4 to 1 as far as duration. So that, as I say, a 15-minute play, it usually works out to about 40, 50 minutes of singing.
Very interesting. Of course, we did have at the Santa Fe Opera last year, Cold Mountain.
Yeah, well,
which was interesting.
I didn't think it really did justice to the novel.
Well, and I don't think there is any way of improving on that novel.
Well,
I mean, just as an aside, that was one of the best novels ever in the history of novels that I have read.
That's the thing. Well, I've often said you could take a great American novel, like maybe Huckleberry Finn or Catcher in the Rye. They're not going to make good operas. I mean, they are novels, and that's what they should be. Maybe you can make a movie, maybe, but you know, operas they wouldn't be. Anyway, so but these 15 minutes. Plays by Tom Woodward worked really well. And the other librettist I've been working with is a fellow named Rick Huff, and he wrote the libretto called Baggage, and it's all about the psychological baggage that people carry around with them, except that it's not a metaphor. Guy comes into a shrink's office and he's got issues. He has issues. They follow him around. There's 5 of them. There's Dell, delusions of grandeur, attachment disorder, PD, Peter the Dick, Gurr, anger, and Effie, the feminine side.
Oh, my goodness. And they're all characters who have singing parts.
They're all actual characters who are his issues.
That's hilarious.
Well, I think it really is. Rick did a really good job with it. So.
Meanwhile, I mean, a piece like Too Much Coffee Man, that's based on a comic book. And here you are. I mean, I thought it was so interesting because, first of all, that's a comic book that I had known and loved long before you wrote the opera.
Right.
And you are working with such different genres, especially in the sense of these are people, I think, correct me if this is wrong, with different audiences. In other words, the comic book people, the people who go to Comic-Con or whatever, or who are fanatical comic book readers and traders and so on, aren't necessarily your opera audience, or are they?
We're counting on that.
Yeah.
That has been the case. Almost always we get the comic book audience coming to Too Much Coffee Man. The opera audience come, and they certainly enjoy it. But yes, after the premiere in Portland, we took it down to Comic-Con. That you mentioned.
Yeah.
And many people came up saying things like, well, I thought I hated opera, but this is great.
Right.
And that's exactly what we wanted to hear.
So Too Much Coffee Man as the gateway drug to opera.
There you go. I love it. I love it. That is perfect. Yes.
We're talking to Daniel Stephen Crafts about Gonzo Opera, about Too Much Coffee Man, and about Otter's Odd Adventure. Now let's talk a little bit more about that and about the collaboration. You've collaborated with Adam Cornford before. I read that he's the great-great-grandson of Charles Darwin.
That's right.
As an aside. Tell us about the process of working together, composer and writer.
Oh, well, it was really easy because I've known Adam forever, and we've done everything from street theater to grand opera. So collaborating is just kind of second nature, really. And it's mostly Adam who wrote the story and the text. I added a little bit. We wrote it a few years ago, and I brought it more into 2016 with a few things, but it's basically Adam. And I should tell you, this performance is part of the UNM Summer Music Festival,
right,
who's run by 2 fabulous, fabulous string players, Kimberly Fredenberg from the New Mexico Philharmonic, a violist, and Carmelo de los Santos, who's fantastic. fantastic violinist. And these two wonderful people have put this week-long seminar concert series together for young musicians, university-age musicians that come not just from New Mexico, but from all over the country, and even some as far as from Brazil. So it's the week starts the day after Memorial Day, this coming Tuesday, with a faculty concert. Then the performance with Otters on Adventure is Wednesday night at 7 o'clock in Keller Hall. But then there are events going on the rest of the week as well, as well as some more concerts next weekend. So if people want to go to, well, just go to the internet and type in UNM Summer Music Institute, they'll come up with a website, and it has all the concert times and information and all that.
So. Yeah, I mean, and it's interesting that, I mean, what you're doing is really in many ways within the classical music tradition, and you yourself are classically trained, is that correct?
That's true.
What's the orchestra like for this piece?
Oh, they're very good. They're university student players, but they're, as I say, they come from all over the country, and they are some of the best young players around.
How many people are in it? I mean, is it more like a sort of small chamber orchestra? Or?
Yeah, it's a chamber orchestra size for this. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Otter's Odd Adventure is a piece, and I've read it. I haven't heard the music part of it yet, but it brought out in me the, you know how when you were little, you watched the Peanuts cartoons on television at Christmas time or whatever, and the kids were all doing their thing, and the adults sounded like wonk, wonk, wonk.
Yes.
And so that, like, that kid part of you is sort of expressed in the persona of this otter, who the only people he seems to really get along with are the other young people in the shopping mall. Have you shown this to children yet?
Well, we were going to, as I mentioned, my friend Pat Wheeler, who, by the way, is the mother of Shannon Wheeler, who does Too Much Coffee Man. Pat and I were thinking of doing a version of it as a children's book, and that's why she did the watercolors. The only difference is in the children's book, we left out a lot of the rather pointed social satire that will be in the piece that people will hear. But yes, the idea that play is something that should not be dismissed as something for just kids, but is something that's fun. You mentioned cartoons. I have to tell you, I am a great, great fan, and I always have been since I was a little kid, of the Looney Tunes.
Right.
I mean, I think that's one of the great American art forms, are the cartoons, and especially Looney Tunes.
Do you have any other, like, comic or cartoon stories that you're going to bring into the opera format?
Well, that's getting into the Gonzo Opera project.
Right, right.
But my friend Rick Huff, that I did mention, is having written Baggage, the libretto to Baggage. We've talked about doing another piece like this for narrator and orchestra. So that's, we don't really have anything in mind, but Rick has this wonderful, wonderful comic imagination that just won't quit.
Right.
So I'm sure he can come up with something really funny. And so maybe next year we'll do another one, something.
Excellent. Well, stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. And meanwhile, Otter's Odd Adventure is being performed this coming Wednesday, the 1st of June at 7 o'clock in the evening at Keller Hall at the University of New Mexico in Albuquerque. Keller Hall is in the Pope Joy Hall complex. So if you get to Pope Joy Hall, you will find Keller Hall from there. Is that right?
Yes, right across the main lobby. Mm-hmm.
Bob Bishop is the narrator telling the story of Otter. And the audience will be invited to a reception right after the performance. It's free and open to the public, and it's presented in collaboration with musicians from the UNM Summer Music Institute. Daniel Stephen Crafts, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Oh, thank you, Mary Charlotte. It is always a pleasure to talk with you.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. To support the program, you can go to radiocafe.org. Many thanks to StudioX.com for their technical support and web design.